Morning, everybody. Welcome to Daylight Saving. Ooh, don't you feel invigorated?
Nope.
Not. Welcome to our service of the vines this morning, to those of you who are here and those who are watching online. The end of the last two verses of Psalm 13, which isn't a very long psalm, it's only got six verses. But verses 5 and 6 say this: I trust in your unfailing love, Lord. My heart rejoices in your salvation. I will sing the Lord's praise, for he has been good to me. Can you say amen to that? Let me read it again, then you can say amen. I trust in your unfailing love, Lord. My heart rejoices in your salvation. I will sing your praise, Lord, for you have been good to me. Can you say amen? Come on, give me an amen. Thank you. Amen. Father, we praise and thank you that we can meet together in this way as your people, part of your church universal, countless numbers of brothers and sisters who've loved you and served you as we endeavour to do. And we commit our morning to you, Lord. We pray that all that we do will bring glory to your name, will reinvigorate our lives, our spiritual journey, our hope, our faith. Whatever we need, Lord, may it be so. And we pray these things in the name of our sovereign Lord and Saviour, Jesus the Christ. Amen. Please stand and sing with us. You have called us out of darkest night into your glorious light, that we may sing the wonders of the risen Christ. May our every breath retell the grace that broke into our strife, with boundless love and deepest joy and endless life. May the peoples praise you, let the nations be glad. All your blessing comes that we may praise the name of Jesus. All the earth is yours and all within, each harvest is your own, and from your hand we give to you to make Christ known. May the seeds of mercy grow in us for those who have not heard. May songs of praise build lives of grace to spread your may the peoples praise you, let the nations be glad. All your blessing comes that we may praise the name of Jesus. This our holy privilege to declare your praises and your name. To every nation, tribe, and tongue, your church proclaims. May the peoples praise you, let the nations be glad. All your blessing comes that we may praise the name of Jesus. Holy, holy is the Lord Almighty, worthy, worthy is the Lamb who was slain. Holy, holy is the Lord Almighty, all creation praise your glorious name.
Let the nations be glad, for your blessing comes that we may praise the name of Jesus. May the peoples praise you. Let the nations be glad, for your blessing comes that we may praise the name of Jesus.
Lord, we do indeed praise you. Just give you thanks, Lord, for life, the gift of life, and for all that you're doing in our lives, our wonderful, our beautiful Saviour. Amen.
I will sing this song of gladness, give my praise to the fountain of delights, for in my helplessness you heard my cry, and waves of mercy poured down on my life. I will trust in the cross of my Redeemer. I will sing of the blood that never fails, of sins forgiven, of conscience cleansed, of death defeated, and life without end. Beautiful Savior, wonderful Counselor, clothed in majesty, Lord of history, you're the way, the truth, the life, star of the morning, glorious in holiness, you're the risen one, heaven's champion, and you reign. I long to be where the praise is never ending, yearn to dwell where the glory never fades, where countless worshippers will share one song and cries of worthy will honor the man. Wonderful Counselor, clothed in majesty, Lord of history, you're the way, the truth, the life, star of the morning, glorious in holiness, you're the risen one, heaven's champion, and you reign, you. Wonderful Counselor, clothed in majesty, Lord of history, you're the way, the truth, the life, star of the morning, glorious in holiness, you're the risen one, heaven's champion, and you reign, you.
Okay, now I don't think I've got any notices really. Grab a copy of The Grapevine if you haven't received one digitally by email, or for those of you watching online, if you want to have a look at our weekly newsletter, it's available on our website. Yeah, you doing something? You are.
Hopefully a dance.
Kids, come on down. Or one of you. Unless there's some others who want to come on down. I want to tell you something, ask you something. Can you see how my hands are a bit different? Looks pretty grubby. It's not very nice. It's a bit unattractive. Can you see that on the camera, can you? Anyway, it's just sort of not very nice. Well, sometimes when people have skin that's not very nice, other people look at them and think, I don't want to get near them. That's just makes me feel unpleasant. And so there was a guy who had this, and somebody said, what you have to do is you have to go and wash yourself in the River Jordan. Now, the River Jordan was a bit different from the water that comes out of our taps. It looked about like that. Can you see? It's nice and clean. No? You don't think it's... Well, anyway, this guy was told, go and wash in the River Jordan and your skin will come out beautiful. You'll be fixed, healed. Shall we try that? Never work with kids or animals. Here we go. That's enough cracks. Here we go. Ready? Oh, look at that. Washing. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. And look at that. Look at that. Beautiful. Beautiful. Isn't it? It's just beautiful. Just get rid of that water. See, but it's really clean. Well, it looked really clean. The reason for the doing this sort of thing is not just because, you know, you've got to wash in a muddy water. Well, it happened to be muddy. But it was because God said through a prophet, you have to go and wash in that water and you will be made clean. And so for us, you know, we might think, well, that's not going to work, because we know that washing in dirty water doesn't actually work, does it? Not normally, but with God, amazing things happen. And it's probably a reminder for all of us, not just for you, but for all of the people who are watching or watching online, that we are to do what God says. And God asks us to do quite a lot of things. And when we read the Bible, we can find out what those things are and we can put them into practice. We've got to be obedient to God. And sometimes that means being obedient and perhaps being more loving. Yes. And being kind. Who's been kind to someone today? Hands. Oh, well, you've got the rest of today and there's plenty more hours of daylight to do that. So I hope that they will all, not just you, but everybody, will be kind to someone today and show them a bit more love. Okay? Let me say a prayer. Lord, we thank you that you are a God who helps us, who loves us, and wants us to love others. And we pray that you will make our hearts and our bodies clean, our minds, and our relationships with others. So help us, we pray, through Jesus' name. Amen.
We're going to bring our offerings to God now. And I think this is always a good time, not just to think about financial offering, but offerings of ourselves. And the hymn we're going to sing reflects that kind of offering. Please stand.
May the mind of Christ, my Savior, live in me from day to day. By his love and power controlling all I do and say. May the word of God dwell richly in my heart from hour to hour, so that all may see I triumph only through his power. May the peace of God, my Father, rule my life in everything, that I may become to comfort sick and sorrowing. May the love of Jesus fill me as the waters fill the sea, him exalting, self-abasing, this is victory. May I run the race before me, strong and brave to face the looking only on to Jesus as I onward go. Looking only unto Jesus as I onward go.
Father, we praise you and thank you that you are a giving God, and you have given to us in abundance. And so, Lord, we bring the offerings to you that Jackie is holding this morning and the offerings that have been made online. And pray, Lord, as we offer ourselves and seek to serve you, you will use what we bring financially and multiply it and use it as we seek to reach beyond the walls of this building. We give you all praise and all thanks, Abba Father, Lord Jesus Christ, Holy Spirit. Amen. Thank you. Please take your seats.
First reading for today is 2 Kings chapter 5, verses 1 to 14, the healing of Naaman. Naaman, commander of the army of the king of Aram, was a great man and in high favour with his master, because by him the Lord had given victory to Aram. The man, though a mighty warrior, suffered from a skin disease. Now the Armenians, on one of their raids, had taken a young girl captive from the land of Israel, and she served Naaman's wife. She said to her mistress, "If only my lord were with the prophet who is in Samaria, he would cure him of his skin disease." So Naaman went in and told his lord just what the girl from the land of Israel had said. And the king of Aram said, "Go then, and I will send along a letter to the king of Israel." He went, taking with him 10 talents of silver, 6,000 shekels of gold, and 10 sets of garments. He brought the letter to the king of Israel, which read, "When this letter reaches you, know that I have sent to you my servant Naaman, that you may cure him of his skin disease." When the king of Israel read the letter, he tore his clothes and said, "Am I God to give death or life, that this man sends word to me to cure a man of his skin disease? Just look and see how he is trying to pick a quarrel with me." But when Elisha, the man of God, heard that the king of Israel had torn his clothes, he sent a message to the king, "Why have you torn your clothes? Let him come to me, that he may learn that there is a prophet in Israel." So Naaman came with his horses and chariots and halted at the entrance of Elisha's house. Elisha sent a message to him saying, "Go, wash in the Jordan 7 times and your flesh shall be restored and you shall be clean. But Naaman became angry and went away, saying, I thought that for me he would surely come out and stand and call on the name of the Lord his God, and would wave his hand over the spot and cure the skin disease. Are not Abana and Pharpar, the rivers of Damascus, better than all the waters of Israel? Could I not wash in them and be clean? He turned and went away in a rage. But his servants approached and said to him, Father, if the prophet had commanded you to do something difficult, would you not have done it? How much more, when all he said to you was, wash and be clean? So he went down and immersed himself seven times in the Jordan, according to the word of the man of God. His flesh was restored like the flesh of a young boy, and he was clean. The second reading is from Luke chapter 10, verse 1 to 11 and 16 to 20. After this, the Lord appointed 72 others and sent them on ahead of him in pairs to every town and place where he himself intended to go. He said to them, "The harvest is plentiful, but the labourers are few. Therefore, ask the Lord of the harvest to send out labourers into his harvest. Go on your way. I am sending you out like lambs into the midst of wolves. Carry no purse, no bag, no sandals, and greet no one on the road. Whatever house you enter, first say, 'Peace to this house.' And if a person of peace is there, your peace will rest on that person. But if not, it will return to you. Remain in the same house, eating and drinking whatever they provide, for the labourer deserves to be paid. Do not move about from house to house. Whenever you enter a town and its peoples welcome you, eat what is set before you. Cure the sick who are there, and say to them, 'The kingdom of God has come near to you.' But whenever you enter a town and they do not welcome you, go out into its streets and say, 'Even the dust of your town that clings to our feet, we wipe off in protest against you. Yet know this, the kingdom of God has come near. Whoever listens to you, listens to me, and whoever rejects you, rejects me, and whoever rejects me, rejects the one who sent me.' The 72 returned with joy, saying, 'Lord, in your name, even the demons submit to us.' He said to them, 'I watched Satan fall from heaven like a flash of lightning. Indeed, I have given you authority to tread on snakes and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing will hurt you. Nevertheless, do not rejoice at this, that the spirits submit to you, but rejoice that your names are written in heaven.' This is the word of the Lord.
Please remain seated.
Thank you for the cross, Lord. Thank you for the price you paid, bearing all my sin and shame. In love you came and gave amazing grace. Thank you for this love, Lord. Thank you for the nail-pierced hands, washed me in your cleansing flow. Now all I know, your forgiveness and embrace. Worthy is the Lamb, seated on the throne, crowned of heaven crucified. Worthy is the Lamb. Worthy is the Lamb. Thank you for the cross, Lord. Thank you for the price you paid, bearing all my sin and shame. In love you came and gave amazing grace. Thank you for this love, Lord. Thank you for the nail-pierced hands. Wash me in your cleansing flow. Now all I know, your forgiveness and embrace. Worthy is the Lamb seated on the throne. Crown you now with many crowns. You reign victorious, high and lifted up, Jesus, Son of God, darling of heaven crucified. Worthy is the Lamb, 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 seated on the throne. Crown you now with many crowns, you reign victorious. Son of God, the darling of heaven crucified. Worthy is the Lamb, worthy is the Lamb, worthy is the Lamb, worthy is the
For those who can't read my name badge, it's Ian Kitto. And now we're back.
You can give yourself your whole time reference.
Well, I could, because I am. But let me begin with prayer. Come, Holy Spirit, and open our ears and our hearts and our spirits to hear your word for us today, for Jesus' sake. Amen. As you were listening to that second Bible reading, did you hear the reference to labour shortages? Nothing's new, is it? It's always been like it. Lots of things happen. But there's another thing that's pretty common too. And that is, who wants to be clean? Who doesn't want to be clean, I should say? With the possible exception of young children who delight in an abundant winter mud, we all want to be clean. We all want to be free of the messy stuff of life, like mud and disease and worry and grief and fear and failure and loss of relevance and labour shortages. We're over this COVID-19 pandemic, and we're over the war in Ukraine. We're over lockdowns and masks and fuel costing $2 a litre. We're over ever higher costs for food and electricity and council rates and pies and pasties and coffee. We want to be free of all that mucky stuff of life. In effect, we want to be clean. We want to be pure. Well, this is what the mighty warrior Naaman was faced with in 2 Kings chapter 5. He was powerful. He was the commander of the king of Aram's army. He was clearly respected and esteemed by the king of Aram. And he had a debilitating skin disease, like leprosy. He wasn't clean, and it didn't wash off easily. The context is that Aram, which is modern-day Syria, had defeated Israel and taken much plunder, including an Israelite girl as a slave. Now, this young foreign female slave told her mistress, who was Naaman's wife, "If only my lord were with the prophet who is in Samaria, he would cure him of his skin disease." And as we heard, after Naaman told the king of Aram what she said, the king of Aram sent Naaman to the king of Israel, but not to the prophet Elisha. And he sent him with lots of silver and gold and 10 sets of garments. Not quite sure why, but he did. And a letter requesting that the king of Israel was to cure Naaman. Because the assumption, I guess, was that the prophet was obedient to the king and a large payment was necessary to ensure his help. And if you think about it, people in power still make assumptions about the extent of their power. And today, diplomatic negotiations are still matters for the heads of government, but a lot of it actually takes place further down the pecking order, the negotiations. And Naaman's healing, which in his case should have been simple, is becoming difficult. Anyway, Naaman fronted up to the king of Israel with his master's letter saying, "Please heal, you know, heal him." And the king of Israel thought it was a deliberate ploy to cause trouble for him. And he ripped his clothes in anguish. I better not do that. And Elisha the prophet heard about this and sent a message to the king to send Naaman to him. He didn't go himself. He sent a message. And when Naaman arrived at Elisha's humble house with all his horses and chariots and expensive gifts, Elisha sent a message out to him and said, "Go wash in the Jordan 7 times and you shall be clean." In other words, he'd be healed of his skin disease. Naaman wasn't impressed. After all, Naaman was a big shot, a mighty warrior in charge of a victorious army, and he expected a lot more respect from this foreign prophet. He wanted some personal service, don't we all? And he wanted not just a message from an underling, but the attention that he deserved as a bigwig. And to wash himself in the muddy River Jordan, and that's the River Jordan, doesn't look very imposing, does it? And it was muddy. It's muddy. A mere muddy creek is far less imposing than the mighty rivers of Damascus. It wasn't good enough for self-important Naaman. But then Naaman's own servants intervened. And they told Naaman that if he'd done something, or if he'd been asked to do something difficult, he'd have done it. So why not try the simple way? Wash and be clean. As verse 14 says, "So Naaman went down and immersed himself 7 times in the Jordan according to the word of the man of God, and he was clean." Now what we've got here is another story of how healing comes through the grace of God. And power and might and self-importance count for nothing. Naaman was healed because he swallowed his pride and humbled himself and listened to the little people, the powerless, not the powerful. And his healing began with the young, female, foreign, slave girl who dared to tell her mistress about the prophet she knew of back in her home country. And Naaman's healing didn't come from a high-level diplomatic mission between two kings. Naaman's healing came through a messenger from the prophet Elisha. And it took even more lowly servants to approach Naaman before he washed and was healed. And what's surprising about this story is that Naaman was healed at all. Because Naaman the Aramaean wasn't part of God's chosen people, and yet God healed him. Naaman wasn't healed by those with obvious power, like a king. God healed him because he responded to what his lowly servants said. Naaman wasn't healed because he followed protocol and handed over lots of gold and silver and stuff. God healed him because he did as instructed. Naaman wasn't healed because he was self-sufficient and important. God healed him when he humbled himself and listened to God through the prophet and washed himself seven times in the muddy River Jordan. When God does the surprising and the unexpected, amazing things happen. Naaman's healing came from God through the faith of a captive slave girl in a foreign country. Because for her, faith wasn't complicated and difficult. It was simple. Naaman and the king of Aram tried to complicate it by reverting to human power, where kings were more powerful than servants and slaves and money talks. And God heals all of us, whether we are rich or poor, slave or free, native born or come from another country. And when Naaman finally washed, he was healed. It was that simple. And it's very simple to similar to the story in the Gospel of Luke chapter 10, when Jesus sends out the 72 disciples to go and preach. And they aren't to take any of the usual provisions for the journey that a traveller took in those days. They simply went and told people about the reign of God, and they came back rejoicing. And it's important to not downplay the significance of the instructions that Jesus gave to those new missionary field workers. Because it was an extremely challenging assignment that Jesus gave them, to go out and not take the standard traveller's equipment of purse and sandals and bag left them extremely vulnerable. And in one sense, their missionary task was vastly simplified because they went as free agents who were totally dependent on the sender, who was God. And they were free to accept the hospitality and peace from anyone. And so they could get on then with the healing the sick and proclaiming that the kingdom or the reign of God had come near. They could not control what sort of reception they would get as they arrived. And sometimes they were not welcomed. There was no peace and no hospitality, in which case they were to shake the dust off their feet and move on. Their faith had to be simple, and it had to be totally reliant on God. They had to be totally reliant on God. It's vastly different from what we learn to be today, which is self-reliant and fully prepared. So we are not making ourselves vulnerable at any time. As young children would say, "I can do it myself." You ever said that? Do you think that? You see, for those disciples, those 72, it was all about them, God, not them. Just as it's not about us today. The response of faith was simple. It was a willingness to share the hospitality of another. It's a really good thing, hospitality. It was a celebration of hope, of inclusion, and of healing. And the lesson for us today is still the same, that God's ways are independent of human power and protocol. And when we try to complicate faith, we actually get in the way of God's healing. We now live in an era when we expect things to happen only because the rich and powerful will bring it about, which usually means some rich old white straight men who've been to the right school will make it happen. Our society emphasises the importance of individual abilities and accomplishments. You know, it's a merit-based society, we're told, and the cream rises to the top. And those with the most money buy the most influence. And internationally, the most powerful countries are those with the most economic clout, or the biggest and best weapons of warfare, and the best access to scarce resources and the ability to control that. And when it comes to passing on the Christian faith today, similar expectations abound. It's just this feeling that the most effective missionaries and ministers will be those who are great entrepreneurial speakers, those who can garner the largest crowds and are the most persuasive at getting donations of money out of people to fund the mission. But what does the healing of Naaman have to say about this? Now, how can we hear God's word in a world dominated not by faith in a loving God, but by faith in our own power and self-importance? How can we hear God speak through modern-day prophets when so many people are desperate to be made clean, to be free of the dirt and the filth and the stench of economic stress and family violence and an obsession with power? God's message today from the story of Naaman's healing is simply this, that any healing we may receive is entirely due to the grace of God. And for that to happen, we need to listen to the voices of those who are not rich and powerful. That is, God heals us when we obediently listen to the often unexpected voices of those who are the equivalent of young foreign female slaves, which includes, well, young people, people of colour, women, and those who are culturally and linguistically diverse, those who have disabilities, those who are different or have skin disease. Do we dare to believe that those people can point us towards healing, point us towards today's speakers of prophetic words, or are themselves the prophets who speak for God? Because prophets are often to be found on the margins, on the edges. They're not front and centre. The Christian hope we have is seen when people are liberated from the powers that otherwise control them, including things like diseases that make us social pariahs. And those of us who are old enough can remember the terribly controlling way that people in the 1980s were oppressed by AIDS. Ultimately, it isn't our great importance or great speaking ability that brings people to faith. It's God working through us together with God. The good news, the gospel of Jesus, is that we are made clean when we obey Jesus, when we love God and love others. It really is that simple. As Naaman was made clean when he obediently washed in the dirty old River Jordan, so we are made clean today when we obediently love God and love one another. And that includes loving the likes of Vladimir Putin, or the Donald Trumps of the world, or the politicians that we did not vote for earlier this year. Faith is simple, not difficult. There's a codicil to the story of Naaman's healing. If you go on and read further in 2 Kings chapter 5, verses 15 to 19, you'll find that after he was healed, Naaman was full of gratitude and wanted to pay Elisha with the gold and the silver and the 10 sets of garments that he brought with him from Aram. But Elisha refused all payment. After all, Naaman was healed by the divine grace of God, not by the power of Elisha himself. And Elisha knew it. And so Naaman asked Elisha, "Please let me, your servant, have 2 mule loads of earth, for your servant will no longer make burnt offerings or sacrifices to any other god except the Lord, the God of Israel." And as a result of his healing, he was convinced that there was no god in all the world except in Israel, and he wanted to worship God, that God, on Israelite soil. If you think about the way that humanity is pretty well dependent for the whole of life on the top 6 inches or 15 centimetres or so of soil on the planet, Naaman got it right with his unusual souvenir of Israel. Well, this coming week, I invite you, each time you wash or sanitise your hands, perhaps after you've dug into the topsoil of your garden on a lovely day like today, tomorrow, maybe after you've been digging into the topsoil of your life, thinking about things, I invite you to listen for God's prophetic voice, the voice that brings healing, forgiveness, hope, and mutual love. And it brings it to you and to others. Now, God may not cleanse you of a skin disease like God healed Naaman, but God will make you clean through the power of Jesus, who inspires us to simply live, to love, to rejoice that your names are written in heaven. And as people who've been made clean, what then? What's our response to be? And I suggest that it's simply this: more love. Love God and love others. Will you do that? Let's spend a moment or two in silence, reflecting on what you'll take home from this. And let me say a prayer. God of powerful love, help us through your Spirit to listen and to respond to those quiet voices that point the way towards our healing. May your healing grace cleanse us so that we may together be your agents of transforming love and find peace, hope, grace, and love. For Jesus' sake. Amen. Amen. And now it's time for us to celebrate the sacrament. And let us remember how this began. That on the night when Jesus was betrayed, he sat at supper with his disciples, and while they were eating, he took a piece of bread and said a blessing and broke the bread and shared it amongst them. And then he blessed and passed around a cup of wine from which they all drank. And so today, we follow the example of Jesus. We give thanks to God before sharing together. Let us pray. Loving God, your glory fills the heavens, but our spiritual ancestors turned away from your ways of generosity and grace and creativity. And prophets came to warn against such foolishness, but their words were not found to be acceptable. You revealed your glory in Jesus, whose life revealed the depth and breadth of your love for humanity, and whose life was poured out for the sake of the world you love. He declared your wisdom to us, telling us of your grace and hope. Jesus, cleanser of temples and skins and souls, look deep into our hearts and our lives and clear away all that holds us back. For we're sorry for the times we mess up. And we think of all the things in our lives that need cleansing and healing so that we may be more faithful disciples. Thank you for the forgiveness of these things and the forgiveness of all our sin. And as forgiven people, we come to you with our prayers for ourselves and others. Gracious and loving God, we think of places in the world that need to be made clean today. Places like Ukraine, where artillery and missiles and bullets are being used to attack and take over the homes and cities and territory of people who don't understand why someone else's greed and power allows them to invade and destroy their lives and livelihoods. And so the innocent continue to suffer, and fear spreads, and the grief and the trauma continues. Cleanse the hearts of those who invade others, Lord, and bring back peace and hope for a better and safer future. And God of peace, God of creation, we have seen on our screens images of terrible damage in coastal parts of Florida and America, where Hurricane Ian has blown away buildings and lives, and the storm surge has flooded so much land and brought not cleansing but destruction. We've also seen much closer to home, where families at Echunga have been anxious, with a waterlogged dam wall at risk of further failure and threatening to flood their homes. Help us, O God, to place our trust in you and to find peace. Help us to trust in the God-given creativity and resilience of leaders, to find ways to help us go on and to not be overwhelmed by dangers and disasters, but so that we may discover ways to work together and rebuild shattered lives. Lord, in the longer and sunnier evenings of springtime and summer and daylight saving, may we give thanks for the brightness of a new day, with its blue skies, its colourful flowers, time for creative leisure, and the joy of a change of season. God of grace and healing, we pray for your church, wherever the good news of Jesus is proclaimed, wherever people gather for worship, longing for hope and sharing God's love and joy. And may these diverse congregations bear witness to the cleansing power of God to bring transformation of individuals, reconciliation between those in dispute with each other, and be effective expressions of compassion and love that draws other people into a response of faith in Jesus. And we also pray, O God, that through your Holy Spirit we may find the healing and cleansing that we seek for ourselves and our lives. Don't let us make this more difficult than it needs to be. So empower us to respond to the imperative of faith with obedience to God's instruction, and to trust in the power of Jesus to remake us when we fall short of your expectations of our behaviours toward you and toward one another. and God of healing. We also offer to you, in a moment of silence, the personal prayers that we have of people and situations for whom we want prayer. Today, we remember particularly Ian and Jenny Painter. Loving God, as we hear the news that Ian is very low, we pray especially for them and their family. Comfort them as they face impending grief. Reassure them of your presence, Lord, and reassure them of your continuing love. Lord, bring healing to all those who are unwell. Give courage to those facing uncertainty. Strengthen the faith of those who doubt. And let peace be found where people are in dispute. And open all of us to being more loving as we love God and love others. Lord, hear these prayers we offer in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and our Saviour, who heals us, hears us and heals us and brings us life and hope. And so, Holy God, pour out your Spirit upon us and on these gifts of bread and wine, that this meal may be holy and your people may become one. Unite us in faith, inspire us to love, encourage us with hope. Through Christ, with Christ, in Christ, in the unity of the Holy Spirit, all honour and glory is yours forever. Amen. And I invite you to join with me as we say the Lord's Prayer together. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. Save us from the time of trial and deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen. The bread we break is a sharing in the body of Christ, the Prince of Peace. And the cup we take is a sharing in the blood of Christ, reminding us of the life of Jesus. And so here at this table, graced by the Spirit that continues to make us clean, I remind you, we continue to discover the abundant love that Jesus has for us. I remind you that we practice an open table here, and all who love the Lord a little and would like to love him more are welcome to participate. Would the servers come forward, please? Serve you first the bread, and I'll tell you when to eat, and then the juice, and we'll eat that together as a sign of our union together. For these are the gifts of God for the people.
the name of Jesus. Praise His holy name. Praise the name.
As we eat the bread, we remember that Jesus gave himself for us, that we may be made whole, cleansed, forgiven, and strengthened for service in his name.
Praise the name of Jesus. Praise His holy name. Praise His name of Jesus. Yesterday, today, forever the same. Forever the same. Praise the name of Jesus. Praise the living Lord. Praise the name of Jesus. Yesterday, today, forever adored. Forever adored. Praise the name of Jesus. Praise His holy name. Praise the name of Jesus. Yesterday, today, forever the same. Forever the same. Forever the same, forever the same.
As we take the cup to drink together as a sign of our unity in Christ, we remember the life that Jesus lived and the life that we are called to live. May the blood of Christ keep you in eternal life and give you peace. Let us pray. God of grace, you call us together and make us one people. You renew us at your table with the bread of life. May this food strengthen us in love and help us to serve you in each other. Amen. And now we'll sing our final song. Three things before we go. First, if anyone would like prayer after the service, please come out to the front here somewhere and I or someone else will pray for you. Secondly, there's a refreshing cup of tea or coffee in the foyer around the corner. Please join us and share some caring conversations with each other. And third, as you go from this place back into the world, remember the Christian hope that we have, that by the grace of God, we are made clean. Listen for the voice that calls you to simple faith and to more love, to love God and to love others. And may the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the cleansing love of God and the fellowship and unity of the Holy Spirit be with you and remain with you always. Amen.
Amen.
Have faith in God. Let your hope rest on the faith he has placed in your heart. never give up, never let go of the faith he has placed in your heart.
Beautiful.